like you. Hop de dooby doo. I want to walk like you. Talk like you. We're back. We finally figured it out, at least mostly. It's been a wild whirlwind. We thank you for joining us on Facebook, on our actual Facebook page. We got locked out of it, we thought, for a while. Yes. And we've had to get access to some of our accounts that help us, you know, prepare our editing to make the MP3s and all that live. But we are here today, and we're on Facebook Live on our page, going to continue our Ruth study. We want to thank all of our listeners that have held, been faithful to us, held through with us, all the confusion and just waiting. I know several have still asked us, you know, when are you going to update like Spotify and iTunes and stuff? And we got them all ready to pull the trigger. We're waiting on one of our accounts to be made accessible to us. It's called Soundtrap, where we edit our podcast and upload them to Spotify and things. So
yeah, a lot of our listeners, I mean, they do keep up. When I put out on Facebook that we had that issue,
yeah.
Stephanie Price was like, hey, can you put it up on Spotify? And I said, well, that's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
You know, we had that run-in that caused that problem. And John Smith, who's been a faithful listener and a good friend of ours, was saying that, you know, he kind of missed seeing it and all that.
Yeah.
And that was good. And I wanted to pray David Lucas. David Lucas always comes on and always he'll put some comments in there. And he's going through some difficult times. And just want to be mindful of him as well. So we do develop relationships with a lot of our listeners. And we appreciate all the feedback that we get. And we just see it as an honor and a blessing to be able to serve in this capacity.
Yes. And so we wanted to tell you we're still here for you. We're still trucking. We're not losing momentum. We just had to figure some technology out.
You think we got any young people that are out there going, are they going to play that Would You Rather game?
Yeah. Stand up, sit down. Yeah. If you didn't see it, yeah, that's on our Facebook. We live streamed our class at YOU with all the teams. There's like four classes of 95 kids. It was a big turnout. And
yeah.
We were just one of the classes they went through. But yeah, we played that stand up, sit down. If you haven't watched our stream of that on our Facebook, at least watch that beginning, you know, stand up, sit down. There might be some challenging ones in there for you to think about.
Yeah, there might be.
It was a fun exercise.
Yeah, YOU was really good, and I appreciate it. I know you're a big part of YOU and the church at Robinson and Center and all the area congregations getting together, and that's just a really good thing.
Yes. And shout out to what we have coming up, too. We've got, is it SCOC coming up? It's a Mountain Home family retreat they do every year, and they invited us to come present some lessons and some activities there at their family retreat. So our families are going, and wannabes are going to be there week or so.
Chris had called me, and I'm like, man, I'm an old man right now. I mean, you want me to talk about families? I'm a grandpa. I'm pop right now. Maybe Spencer can come join in with me and, you know, show me that youth side of it and give me some ideas. So, yeah, excited about that. Our wives are going to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And God's just good. And all we want to do is
just growing.
Share that. We want to be like Christ.
Yes.
And we pray that this podcast helps you and maybe some of the ministries that we start off of that. So
you know, we've been getting into Ruth, and every couple of weeks we've kind of jumped back in there. We're trying to, you know, again, we've got things figured out where we should be able to push through these next few weeks and keep those podcasts going. But we introduced the book of Ruth, and we went into chapter one, and we did chapter two just a week or so ago. And we're at that point now in the third chapter of the book of Ruth is we're just walking through it, you know, trying to, you know, really get a flavor for each chapter, take our time thinking about the details that could really make a difference in the way we read some of these books and how they really resemble our lives and resemble how Jesus interacts with us and, you know, spiritually. So we've been getting a lot out of it. And as you go through Ruth 3, we're going to pull some things out and we'll dive in there. But, you know, it's all, again, you got Ruth has met Boaz. And they're starting to establish a very deep friendship and a deep care and love for each other. And she has got a great respect for this godly, honorable man.
Yeah.
Who's really a type of Jesus Christ back in the Old Testament, just in the way that he has mercy upon this family, Naomi and Ruth, that are two people who can't provide for themselves. Naomi being a widow.
That's
and
right.
Ruth being a Moabite, you know, and he takes them under his care, you know, through Ruth.
And I think there's a lot of people out there, and they may be Christians that have made maybe some poor decisions, or they may think that God is not working in their lives. And I find it interesting when you go to Ruth 1 and you start reading it, it's really all about Naomi and her life. And she goes to Moab, and all of a sudden she's meeting Ruth, and all these difficult things happen to her. And then she hears about Bethlehem, and it's barley harvest, and food is being provided. So she comes back, but she's Mara. She's bitter. She's sad. And in Ruth 2, she's really not there that much. Yeah. I mean, it's like Ruth and Boaz and this relationships that's forming. So when you get in and you start looking at Ruth 3, then Naomi comes back in the picture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think Naomi only comes back into the picture because Ruth begins to do what God would have her to do.
Yeah.
And Boaz being a godly person. So Christians, if you're out there and you may not know the things that you're doing might make a difference in a Christian's life who's trying to make sense of their life, and you're giving them just a glimmer of hope that it may be possible to come back. And so I think you, I think a lot of us could be Ruths out there and try to help somebody see that God really is the answer, and doing it God way and staying faithful to that instead of just running off to Moab.
Yeah.
Let's stay in here. And I think so Naomi's given hope.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because of what Ruth and Boaz are doing. So I just find that an interesting thing. And all of a sudden Ruth, you know, Naomi showing back up, like, here's this meddling mother-in-law.
Yeah. That, and
you ain't got one, do you?
No, I'm blessed with the best, right?
You're blessed. Yep. With the best mother-in-law.
Yep. Mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. She's good. She doesn't meddle at all. She keeps us in our place. We need all the mercy, bless our hearts, we can get. We put her through a lot, I think.
Yeah, she's being grangy right now.
Yeah, she's grangy right now. She's meddling with the two toddlers. So they may be meddling with her. I guess that's the best way to put it. So we thank you, Grangy, for your service. But, you know, Naomi here is the mother-in-law, and that really comes, it's a key, I guess, understanding of this chapter and how it's going to work. And you can kind of look at it, and it is like a Hallmark movie. You're like, maybe say a soap opera, Hallmark movie. It becomes very dramatic with the way Naomi approaches Ruth and Boaz. She sees the potential there for a relationship to form. She sees a chemistry, I guess, and a care. And she's like, oh, this is my chance to kind of orchestrate this whole deal. Maybe Ruth doesn't realize she's found a man who could provide for her, like, because Naomi, she can't provide for her, and, you know, she's a widow, and she wants Ruth to have better, and so she's going to meddle a little bit. At least maybe that's what it seems at first. And it says in verse 1, one day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, which she would say Mara if she was writing this, but Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you are going to be well provided for. Now it's Naomi's job, right?
I mean, maybe Ruth is being annoying.
Yeah.
And
eating our groceries.
Come on, girl.
Yeah, failure to launch maybe a little bit. No.
If I'm Ruth right here, I'll be going, I'm doing pretty good on my own.
Woman, you better be glad I'm here. Where do you think this barley's coming from, woman?
Where do you think this barley's coming from?
So she loves Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And again, it is a little bit of that Mara, though. And I hate that it's, you know, she's referred to there as Naomi, because if you read it as it was, the mother-in-law, Mara, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be. Again, Mara, the Lord has forsaken me, and he's shamed us, and now it's up on me to figure this whole thing. She still doesn't acknowledge that God is orchestrating this. She thinks it's by chance, right? And that's what it said chapter. By chance, she got in the field of Boaz. There ain't no chance to it. But Mara is still by chancing it. Now I've got to figure this out.
Yeah.
And so Ruth's been doing good, and again, she's like, you know, I've got to find a home for you. And she says in verse 2, now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Is that not the beginning of a soap opera, right? Turn on your channel 3
at
2 o'clock.
And here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're wondering where this is headed. Now, you got the worldly approach to a soap opera. Here. If it's not a Hallmark movie, right, then, she's trying to convince Ruth to go romance this man.
I mean, because, look at verse 3. Wash. Uh-huh. Put on perfume. Get dressed in your best clothes. So, women, if you want to get a good man, maybe you need to wash. Put on perfume.
Yeah.
You need to get dressed in your best clothes.
Yeah.
Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he's finished eating and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things never change.
Yeah.
I mean, just
the strategy is
that's the same way that, you know, the teenagers do it.
Yep.
You know, that's they want to look the best.
Yep. And prom night, got to dress up, put your makeup on. Yeah, all the stuff.
Did you used to try on multiple shirts to see which one looked the best, and you go in the mirror? Is that a girl thing? Is that?
It's because I couldn't fit into any of them now. That's my dad bod. Yeah. Nope, that button don't work on this one. Nope, that button don't work. So, I do it. But
you don't want it that tight. No.
I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm just trying to fit, you know. And so, yeah, the strategy has become known what Mara, what Naomi is thinking. She's got to put in Ruth's mind. Now go impress him. Go, you need to go in your best, your finest. And so, verse 4, when he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And Ruth answers. She says, I'll do whatever you say, right? She's honoring her mother-in-law. And maybe she is a little swayed and probably gets nervous. Oh, this is my chance.
I would have been going, what?
Yeah, what? Who are you? Yeah.
Hey, I love you, mother-in-law, but I'm like, I'm from Moab.
Yeah.
Like, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm from Enola. We're not going to go lay down at somebody's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's feet.
Yeah, she's immersing Ruth in her worldly Jewish culture of this is how you get it done. And that's what he'll know when this and so you've got to force his hand kind of thing. If he likes you at least a little bit, then he'll know what to do.
Sometimes if you're a reader and you're going through this, you do have to understand the culture that's taking place.
Exactly.
And you do also have to know that many times in those on those threshing floors, there were women of immoral representation, and they wanted to be there to take advantage, or they knew men had some money and they were eating and drinking and they might have needed a woman, and so that was their way of producing a living.
Yeah.
And so there was some immorality that was taking place there.
Yeah.
And some people would speculate that maybe Naomi was doing that, but as you had said earlier when we were talking about this, I thought it was a great point, that doesn't fit the story.
Yeah.
Of Ruth.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't fit.
There's been this whole buildup of and Boaz. I mean, the buildup of who Boaz is. If you want to seduce a man, you don't go try to seduce a Boaz with this sexual, you know, desire, because it's been made clear he's an honorable man. When he sees Ruth, he doesn't want her to be taken advantage of. So keep the men away. Yeah. Keep her with the women. I don't even have any. You, Ruth, you don't even stand by me. You go stand with the women and you're safe there. And so to try to come in and seduce a Boaz would defeat the purpose. I mean, we mentioned we were talking. Now, if you look at people in the Bible where that would have worked, you think about Samson, who is not an honorable man, at least at that point in his life. He's prideful and he's egotistical. And, of course, devil knew what to do, inserted Delilah, and the Philistines send her to do this for the wrong reasons, right? Maybe it's her going on the threshing floor, but she wants to seduce him. And
that's
there is a sexual.
Great point.
And it works because the buildup in Judges is Samson's not honorable. He's extremely vulnerable to this kind of temptation. But you parallel that with more of a Joseph. And that's where Boaz is coming from. When you say, you know, Potiphar's wife, I got to seduce this guy.
Wow.
And she comes in and she just comes in naked. You know, she doesn't, you know, spare anything. She just comes into Joseph's room and he says, no, I can't do that before me and my God, you know. And that's the Boaz stance of it doesn't work on godly people. And it's not a man or a woman thing. It's just if you're a godly person, those flaming darts of the devil aren't gonna work. So why would Ruth try it that way?
I love that thought, because even you talk about Samson and Delilah, and Delilah, you know, is coming in for wrong reasons and trap Samson, so to speak.
Yeah.
And these are in the days of the judges. Ruth, if you study the history of when this story took place, many will speculate and say that it's at the kind of the end of that judge's rule.
Yeah.
So people and judges were doing what was right in their own eyes. It would be natural if someone from Moab would come and the mother-in-law said, listen, we got to get Boaz.
Yeah.
And this is how we're going to get him. But you can live in an evil world and still be a godly man and find a godly woman, and you could still be a godly woman and find a godly man no matter where you are. So if you're teens listening to it, if you're older listening to it, even though we may live in an evil world where people are doing what is right in their own eyes, and you're watching the movies and you see how you're supposed to dress and you see how you're supposed to talk and you know the way to seduce that man or to seduce that woman, you don't have to do that. If God's will is being done and we're obeying him, then he's going to provide what we need. And so, you made some great points right there that I think's worth listening
to. But you can't go to the extreme of saying, well, this is not meant at all. Ruth is not going to be pursuing him. I mean, she's still on the hunt. It's okay to be on the hunt. You know, instead of goods will hunting, it's like God will hunting, right? She's still very much, but you got to know what ammo to carry if you're really looking for a godly individual. Then you don't take the ammo of a Delilah. You take the ammo of somebody who I really care for you. I want to be honorable. I want to live up to your expectations of me, and I want you to see me as. So what does she do? Because this is where the rubber hits the road. She says to Naomi, who's got maybe a little bit of the wrong perspective, and I don't think she's trying to send Ruth in to prostitute at all, but sending her in without faith. She's saying, God's not in control, I am, so you need to do your best.
Yes.
But God's sitting there saying, He loves you the way you are.
I think Naomi is trying to live by the culture of that day.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
Boaz is a kinsman redeemer.
Yeah.
He is obligated to do this for you.
Yeah.
This is how you make that happen. Because when you look in that day, some of the research that we did on it, you know, this was understood to be a role of the servant, that you would lay at the master's feet, be ready for any command of the master. So when Naomi told Ruth to lie down at Boaz's feet, she told her to come in with a totally humble, submissive way.
Yeah.
I am your servant. And so it didn't have to be that way. As I did some more research, you know, Ruth, she came to claim a right.
Yeah.
She knew who Boaz was.
Yeah.
And so Boaz was her Goel, or her kinsman redeemer. Mm. And that was that cultural thing that was going to have to happen, basically. And she had the right to expect him to marry her and raise up a family to perpetuate the name of Elimelech.
Mm-hmm.
But here, Naomi wisely counseled Ruth to not come as a victim demanding her rights, but as a humble servant, trusting in the goodness of her kinsman redeemer.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that sometimes we as Christians, I think sometimes we may come to God with a right.
Yeah.
We come to God with an expectation of, I've been faithful to you. I'm doing these things. It's your obligation then to do these things. And sometimes we don't take that humble approach before God, and it can backfire. But even though Naomi knew the culture, I think Ruth is being obedient to God, knowing that I am a humble servant.
Yeah.
And I'm not going in to claim what I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought this was God at work, even though you don't see God in this mix and Naomi thinks she's doing it.
Yeah.
God is still behind the scenes working and moving and honoring the godly people in that.
So in verse 6, it says she went and did everything that was requested of her. She took Naomi's advice. She goes to the threshing floor and did everything it says her mother-in-law told her to do. And in verse 7.
Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Always. Always. And it's an extension. My wife's just an extension of that. So it's all one big circle.
It's all one big circle.
Yeah. You got to read the small print.
Okay. Okay.
I do it as good as you do. I'll just put it that way.
Man,
I do it as good as you do.
I'm lobbing it up there for you, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you're lobbing it up for them, for sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Man,
keep them coming. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'm well-trained. So, verse 7, when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he goes over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile, and you get the impression that it says Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and laid down. So she's got a gentle approach. I don't think she's trying to sneak up on him to scare him. But that's what's about to happen. And you wonder, you know, what's the deal with, why would he be scared? And, you know, you kind of allude to like Gideon, you know, thinking about where he's found hiding from the enemy. He's hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat for the enemy. I mean, thieves break in all the time to steal stuff. And that was what was of value then for them, the grain. So he's kind of, I guess he kind of goes to sleep there because it's where he chooses, but it's also intentional where he's at. So if somebody's over there where he's at sneaking up on him, that can't be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, in the days of the judges, I mean, evil is mean.
Yeah.
Evil, that was a common thing for thieves to come in. That's where they're going to find the things that they want for free. And there's many times in our world, I mean, we know that evil abounds. And we know that there are people out there that are stealing. And it's why you lock your cars up and you're going to lock your doors at night. And, you know, I guess people say, back in my day, you know, we used to leave the door wide open. We never locked it. We'd leave the keys in the car and never worried about that. Well, you didn't live in the days of the judges.
Yeah.
And if you live in the days of the judges, and some people may say, that's what we're living in today because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely the theme of everybody doing what's right
and
in their own house.
And we do kind of live scared maybe at times. And Boaz may have woke up startled because he might have been a little extra cautious that night where he was sleeping.
That's what, in verse 8 it says, the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and there was a woman lying at his feet. who are you? You know, so he doesn't acknowledge or see who it is at first. And of course, she indelicately says, I am your servant. Remember the approach, like you talked about, she's approaching in that very specific, intentional way.
Yeah.
I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Now spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Like you said, kinsman redeemer, Goel. And I love what you found over the whole act of the spreading of the garment. Yeah, mention that.
Yeah, I was even I was trying to envision my wife. I wake up and she's laying at my feet. I would be startled.
Yeah,
I would be startled.
What I do, yeah.
But once again, I think they're coming in and they're doing something that's cultural that we're not used to.
Yeah.
I mean, we may say something else, but this spread the corner of your garment over me, the phrase can be translated, spread the corner of your garment over me. This was a culturally relevant way to say, I am a widow, take me as your wife. And I thought it was interesting, some of the things that I found. The spreading of a skirt over a widow as a way of claiming her as a wife is attested among Arabs in early days. Mm-hmm. And says that it still exists today among some modern Arabs. That even, that says to this present day, when a Jew marries a woman, he throws the skirt or end of his talith over her to signify that he has taken her under his protection. Mm-hmm. And then even in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, when you really draw in the spiritual side of it, which we like to do, God uses the same terminology in relation to Israel. I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Mm. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God.
Yeah.
And so maybe Boaz, being a godly man, knows these writings.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that God is that type of God.
Yeah.
And so he takes his kinsman redeemer very serious.
Yeah.
He takes it maybe like God takes it. And I think we should do the same thing as Christians, that we should take that relationship that we have with God, the things that we know God is, we need to be serious in the way that we portray that and the way that we treat others and the things that we're going to do for others. So I think there's just some good biblical spiritual lessons that we can learn through here, rather than just reading a good Karen King's very novel, just for the story's sake of it.
Yeah.
There is that spirituality that I think can make you want to be more like Christ. I think we see those examples in there.
It calls for you to, be humble and humble yourself if you approach Jesus and expect him to become your savior. If you do it like this is represented by in scripture, not just in Ruth, but like you said, Ezekiel, between us and God, you have to say, I'm your servant, redeem me. You can't just say, here I am, I deserve salvation now, give me that blood that forgives. Mm-hmm. And I didn't intend to bring it up, but that, jelly roll, that guy that sings, jelly roll.
You're always using a plethora.
Yeah, a plethora. I'm hungry, but no, the guy. The Jelly Roll guy, and that one, that song that made him real famous, because he's kind of mentioned in a spiritual way. Now, he's kind of unsavory, rough around the edges. I get that. But in that song, I only pray to God when I need a favor. And that one line, who am I to expect a savior, is what it says in that song. And that's what I don't know why that popped in my mind when you were mentioning this, when we approach Jesus. Even he would acknowledge, because he has a very flavored past where he. And he's very humble, and I acknowledge, I respect the man. He humble. I don't deserve to be where I'm at now, and that's how we ought to approach our Savior. I'm not coming for a favor. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't expect it, but I am going to ask it because I believe you're true to redeem me.
Yeah, so I think our listeners, we do. When we look at our everyday life, sometimes we may view it as, well, I'm a Christian and I'm trying to do everything right. And why is this situation still happening? And maybe we just need to humble ourselves and lay at the feet of Jesus and allow him to redeem us, allow him to do what he does. And I think that's what Ruth does. She's not coming with any expectation, but she knows what Boaz can do. And I think we need to do the same thing with Jesus. We don't come in with an expectation. And so if you come in with an expectation and you don't get what you wanted, then you're going to be mad at the church. You're going to be mad at Jesus. You're going to be mad at God because you didn't get what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is going, I'll give you what you need.
Yeah.
You lay at my feet. You be my servant.
Mm-hmm.
You humble yourself before me.
Yeah.
And then I can work in your life. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of listeners. I think there's a lot of people that they won't humble themselves. They're still asking God for the things in their life rather than accepting the things from God. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is a great point you brought out right there.
And so Boaz replied to this action, this stance that she comes in and this request. He says in verse 10, "The Lord bless you, my daughter." He replied, "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, which whether rich or poor." And the question, how old has he got to be? I don't know. I don't know if that's concerning or not. But
how old do you have to be where you could say
the younger men?
The younger men.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Somebody needs to put a comment on there.
Yeah, speculate the age there.
How old?
Yeah.
Do you have to be before you say the younger men?
Yeah. We may not want the answer to that. I don't know.
Want the answer, but I still consider myself a younger man.
Yes. You act like it. It's all good. Yeah. 29 and holding.
29 and holding.
Verse 11, he keeps on. He says, "Now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask."
Yeah.
"All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character."
Golly.
So, man, what a honorable statement there. And again, this goes back to the very beginning. You know, this is not with the wrong intention. This was not a seduction, because he even acknowledged, this is one of the most noble actions a person can offer me. He's honored. This honorable man is honored that she would even come to him. And I think that is valuable, because we sometimes only take Boaz as he's the merciful Lord who grants her request out of his benevolence, which is true, but also what an honor that somebody would approach you and think that you're that godly to say, "I know you're of God. Be like God to me, because you have modeled him in my life and I trust you to handle this decision."
Because she's still a Moabite.
Yeah.
I mean, in many examples, yeah, in that Ruth, the Moabite.
The Moabite, yeah.
And so you know people in Bethlehem, you know the Israelites,
yeah,
what they thought of Moab and what, mm-hmm, they would think of a Moabite. And now a Moabite comes into their presence.
Yeah.
And people are speaking kindly of her, saying good things. That can only be because of her actions.
Yeah.
Or Boaz is speaking highly on her behalf. And I think that's still just another biblical principle that we need to know. When you come into the church, many times people who think about coming back to church, you want to come back, you want to get your life right, every one of them will say, "Yeah, but if they knew what I did."
Mm-hmm.
"Yeah, but if they knew who I was." If everybody's there, is a small town, and they know what I've done, mm-hmm, they know what I've did, and I'll always be a Moabite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And somehow we have to get them to realize that in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we are different, and Jesus can speak about us different, and we in the church need to speak highly of each other, regardless of where we came from. We need to be people who speak highly of each other, so that when we are out in the community and people say, "Oh, you worship there," that only good things are said about those people.
Yeah.
That we hold each other up, that we are unified in that. And I believe in Jesus Christ, that's what was happening. I believe Boaz was speaking kindly about this person, recognizing her, telling his people that was working for him, telling those women, "You take care of her. Look how hard she's working. Mm-hmm. Look how honorable she is. Look what she's trying to do."
Yeah.
"And that is my family. That's Naomi, I'm going to take care of her." And I think we need to do the same thing as Christians. We'd do well to take heed to that, I think, in our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we get into, it's almost like a sidestep to this conversation, because Boaz is so honorable. He even says in verse 12, "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is yet another who is more closely related than I." And mm-hmm. he goes on to say, "Stay here for the night. In the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until the morning." So yeah. Honorable is the key word, the best word to describe this man. And because you sense that he's not this distant, sterile, you know, bystander. I mean, this is his life too, and he has to have love for her, because the moment he saw her in the field, it wasn't just about the family, you know, responsibility. He didn't know all these things. He said, "Look, there's a beautiful woman. Let's take care of her. I want to find out who that is." I mean, he does have care for her, beyond just this is my family culture duty, you know.
Yeah, and I think the another biblical lesson would be here is that, like you said, he's trying to do it God's way.
Yeah.
And I think he was more concerned about doing it God's yes. way, because he's sitting here going, I wouldn't have to tell this other person, this exactly. other kinsman redeemer. I love Ruth. I yeah. want to marry Ruth. Yeah. I want to be with Ruth. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah.
He could have just skirted that issue yep. and just said, oh, he probably won't worry about it anyway.
Exactly.
God, you brought this person to me, mm-hmm. so this is what we're going to do. But he honored God
yeah.
before he honored Ruth.
Yeah.
And by not honoring God, sometimes we'll dishonor those things in our life because we put that thing,
yeah.
whether that's a wife, a family, a job, career, sports, recreation, mm-hmm. regardless of what it is, if we make that more valuable, and we thank God for it.
Yes.
We're thankful for it,
mm-hmm.
but we place more value on that than doing it God's way.
Yep.
There will be issues. There will be problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so the yep. honorable thing about Boaz is I think he was conscious of those things. And even if I lose Ruth, I'm okay with it because I still have God.
Yeah.
And I want that relationship. And if I can't have that relationship, then everything else that I have, there it will be of no value. And I think we should take that to heart and be able to apply that to our own lives. Are there things in your life you're thankful for?
Yeah.
But you would value that over
mm-hmm.
being obedient to God.
Yeah.
And I think that keeps a lot of Christians from really being honest and transparent and being able to really come to that relationship with God, because they may be holding on to those things.
And this chapter, I mean, as we come towards the end of the chapter, it kind of leaves you in a cliffhanger, you know, because it says that she laid at his feet like he requested until the morning, but she got up before anybody could be recognized. And he says to her, verse 14, nobody must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. And he also says, bring me the shawl that you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley, placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to the town. And so when Ruth comes back to her mother-in-law, Naomi, Mara, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her. And she even added that he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. So he gets how to work this out. I'm taking notes here, by the way.
Yeah, you better.
I'm taking notes. I better stop by Sonic on the way home, right?
And get that diet. Empty-handed.
Yeah, I better find a Pepsi on the way home.
You better make sure you honor that person.
He's getting all the brownie points here, but he knows how to operate. He's still providing, even in the midst of kind of a unknown situation, trying to navigate these waters. In verse 18, Naomi says, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. She's confident in this guy. And you don't see any interaction between Naomi and
he very well could have dismissed it, and I'm not going to get involved, and I'm not going to make a big deal about it, because, hey, this other kinsman redeemer, he might take you. You're beautiful. You're pretty. You're a hard worker.
Case closed.
You're going to be, I'm going to lose you anyway, so I'm not going to invest much.
Yeah.
And you know that's not what God would want.
Yeah.
That we should still honor and treat things as valuable because it's creation of God.
Yeah.
And so regardless of what we may get out of it, regardless of what we may lose out of it, we gain when we do things God's way. And so I see, you know.
Don't you wish that you could, like, the chapter would have extended and then it goes back to Boaz and you could hear his prayer after she leaves? I think that'd be awesome. Because you know he's praying to God. I mean, you don't think he just, okay, I'm going to go handle this for myself. Because that would have been Naomi's approach is, okay, I'm stressed. Now I'm going to go figure this out. But for a Boaz, I bet there was a prayer time in between what happens next where he's, God, I love this woman. Not my will, but your will be done. But I put it in your hands. But I'm going to fight for her. You know, I'm going to go out and it just would have been an awesome thing to read because you know it happened. Like, if you know this man, like the scripture says we should know this man, it happened.
I mean, because that's what we all do, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
We're not.
That's what we should do.
We're like, God, please.
Yeah.
Please, God. And we even make promises. God, if you will do this for me.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're tempted.
I promise you, I will do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So, man, I never thought.
It would have been a cool thing to see.
What would that prayer be?
Yeah, where you're tempted so bad to want your way. Because I love her. This is good. This is, you brought her in here. But God, you could just as quickly take her away. And I respect that. And you, And so to put yourself on the back burner and put God as number one, that's, and he's, I mean, even without reading the prayer, I say that like I'm left empty handed. No, I mean, even if we're not given the prayer, I know what he said, because you know what the man's heart just from what's given here. I just think that's awesome. It's a challenge.
Yeah, and I think you do know a person that way, because you see by their actions.
Yeah.
Just like we know that they were not trying to seduce.
Exactly, yeah.
They were trying to be that humble servant. Mm-hmm. And Boaz, through his actions, he's trying to be honorable. So you know,
yep,
he probably did pray,
mm-hmm,
and you probably about know what he was praying,
yeah,
for. And so, you know, when I get to the end of this, it's just like Naomi's like, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you're trying to look at the faith of Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Is her faith increasing now?
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
She see the things going,
yeah,
or she's going,
she's nervous.
Yeah, she's nervous. Don't know what's going to happen.
It's not in her control.
Will not rest until the matter is settled today.
Yeah.
And I try to think about that as a man.
Yeah, exactly.
What do people think of you?
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, you think about it. Work, at play, your life, in your world.
Mm.
What do people think of you? How do they think you would react to certain things? If somebody,
right,
said, hey, he said he'd get back to you on that, what do they think about you?
Yeah.
Oh, he probably won't ever get back to you. Or, he will do everything in his power to get that done.
Exactly.
I mean, he's going, man, he is, if he told you he'd try,
yeah,
he's going to try.
Yeah.
That are you seen that way?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can be seen that way is you have to have been godly,
yeah,
all along. That Naomi would go, if anybody could do that,
yeah,
Boaz could do it.
Yeah.
So let's just wait. And
he's working right now as we speak.
He's working right now.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is true for Jesus.
Yeah.
He's,
yeah,
working right now, regardless of the,
yeah,
situation that you're in. And so my question that I thought about when I got to the end of it is, can we trust God,
mm,
in these moments?
Yeah.
Either
said
than
done. Can
we trust God that he's got it worked out, that he knows who holds tomorrow?
Yeah.
I have it worked out,
mm-hmm,
and you just leave it in my hands. And that is so hard to do,
mm-hmm,
so difficult. And so I'd put on there, Ruth may have wanted Boaz, but was having to wait until it was determined. And then, will we accept from God,
mm-hmm,
what he provides?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would have done, how would Naomi would have reacted if we go to Ruth 4 and, you know, Boaz says, yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, or this other guy.
He didn't
guy.
Want you, and I don't want you either, because if he didn't want you, then you must not be as good as what I thought you were. So
yeah.
I don't want you either.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Or the other guy could have said yes, and it wasn't as good of a situation, or he didn't have anything to offer, and now she's,
yeah,
like, well, now I'm stuck with two. You know, now I got to.
Man, this, yeah, has been a good.
Yeah.
I told you before we got on here, I said, I don't really study Ruth 3 that much.
I
don't know if,
yeah,
I can get that much out of it.
I know,
but
you're quick to skip over because you do want to get to that ending, that resolution. It's,
yeah,
comforting.
Yeah.
It's it's that happy ending.
Yeah, some of it went anti-cultural. I was like,
yeah,
I don't know, laying at your feet and,
yeah,
throw the shawl over me and, you know,
yeah,
I don't get it, you know. And,
yep.
So, yeah, that's
so thanks for
good.
Joining us. And I know we've had some that have popped in and commented. Thank you guys for just actively listening, engaging with the word with us. It's,
yeah, it's
encouraging.
50, is 54 too old? Would I have to call you a younger man?
No. Well, when you get 54, we'll talk about it. I mean, you're only 30, so I mean, good grief.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about the future.
Yeah,
that's pretty far away.
That's true.
30-year-old shouldn't be worrying about these kind of problems.
Where are you? Are you a Naomi?
Yeah.
Ruth?
Yeah.
US.
Don't be bitter today.
Don't be bitter today.
Taste the sweetness of Jesus, what it really means to have that,
yeah,
kinsman redeemer.
Yeah, be that Ruth and believe and trust and,
yeah,
help people who are bitter, who are judgmental, that you know, see the church different, see Jesus different,
yep,
because of things that have happened. Let's be a
and be
Ruth.
The difference. Yeah.
Let's
be
a Boaz
the difference
too. Let's,
yeah,
be someone that I'm going to do it God's way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do things right.
Mm-hmm.
If that costs me my job, if that costs me whatever, I want to do,
yeah,
the things that the Bible tells me to do. I want to do what God is instructing me to do. So let's take that and run with it. I think we can apply that right now.
Yes.
We can apply that to our life. It's so real.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Appreciate y'all joining us today.
Good.
We'll be back with Ruth 4, and we'll continue till we close out this book. And in the meantime, stay tuned. We'll hopefully have some info on when those audios are up on Spotify and things, and that'll be on our Facebook. We'll announce it and share it. And we haven't forgot about you guys. Thank y'all for listening to us and supporting the channel, and share it and help us grow. Be praying over this ministry. We are too. So we're thankful for you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope y'all have a wonderful day.